As the first dreary vista of the papyrus banks appeared ahead, stretching away to a boundless horizon, Nakontu's nephews took their place in the bows, and as they entered the watery wilderness they signalled the turns and twists of the narrow channel to Merrin on the steering oar. With the Nile running high, the great swamp was water and more water, with no dry landings, so they were bound to the boats day after day. But the wind that had driven them northwards remained constant and true, filling the lateen sails and driving down the swarms of stinging insects that rose from the reeds. Fenn thought often about the unnatural compliancy of that wind. At last she decided that Taita was exerting the extraordinary powers he had inherited from Eos to make even the elements sway to his will. In these conditions the journey through the watery wastes was not unendurable. There were few demands on Taita, and he was able to leave the navigation to Merrin and Nakontu's nephews, and all other matters to Tinat. He and Fenn passed most of the days and nights in their own private space on the foredeck. The subjects that dominated most of their conversations were, first, Taita's confrontation with Eos, and second, his discovery of the font and its miraculous properties. Fenn never tired of his descriptions of Eos. "Was she the most beautiful woman you have ever seen?" "No, Fenn, you are the most beautiful." "Do you say so to still my busy tongue, or do you truly mean it?" "You are my little fish, and your beauty is that of the golden Dorado, the loveliest creature in all the oceans." "And Eos? What of her? Was she not beautiful also?" "She was very beautiful, but in the same way that a great killer shark is beautiful, she possessed a sinister and terrifying beauty." "When she joined her body to yours, was it the same with her as it is with me?" "It was as different as death is from life. With her it was cold and brutal. With you it is warm, filled with love and compassion. With her I was locked into savage warfare. With you it is a meeting and blending of our separate spirits into some mystic whole that is infinitely greater than its parts." "Oh, Taita, I want so much to believe you. I know and understand why you had to go to Eos and join with her, but still I am consumed with jealousy. Imbali told me that men can take pleasure with many women. Did she not pleasure you?" "There are no words to express how I loathed her infernal embrace. I was frightened and repelled by every word she uttered, every touch of her hands and body. She soiled and corrupted me so that I believed I would never be clean again. When I listen to you speak, I am no longer jealous. I am left only with a feeling of great compassion for what you suffered. Will you ever find surcease?" "I was washed clean in the blueness of the font. The burdens of age, guilt, and sin were lifted from me." "Tell me about the font again. What did you feel as you were enveloped in the blue?" Once again he described the miracle of his transmutation. When he had finished, she was silent for a space, and then she said, "The font has been destroyed in the eruptions of the volcanoes, in the same way that Eos herself was. It is the pulsing artery of the earth. It is the divine power of nature, which quickens and controls all life. It can never be destroyed, for if that ever happened, all creation would perish too." "If it still exists, then what has become of it? Where has it gone?" "It was sucked back into the core of the earth, just as the seas are sucked away by the tides and the moon." "Has it been placed for ever beyond the reach of mankind?" "I believe not. I believe that in time it might resurface again. Perhaps it has already done so in some remote part of the earth." "Where, Taita? Where will it reappear?" "I know only what Eos knew. It will be closely associated with a large volcano, and within proximity of a vast body of water. Fire, earth, air, and water. The four elements. Will any man rediscover the font? It was driven deep into the earth when the volcano of Etna in the far north erupted. At that time it was where Eos had her lair. She was driven out by the fires. She wandered for over 100 years in search of the place where the Blue River had come to the surface again. She found it in the mountains of the moon. Now it has been driven under again." "How long will you remain young, Taita?" "This I cannot tell you with certainty. Eos remained young for over 1,000 years. I know it from her boasts and from the certain knowledge I took from her. And now that you have bathed in the font, you will do the same, she said. You will live for 1,000 years. That night she woke him, whimpering and crying with nightmares. Then she called his name. Taita, wait for me. Come back. Don't leave me. Taita stroked her cheeks and kissed her eyelids to wake her gently. When she realized it had been a dream, she clung to him. Is it you, Taita? Is it truly you? You have not left me. I will never leave you, he reassured her. You will. Her voice was still blurred with tears. Never, he repeated. It took me so long to find you again. Tell me about your silly dream, Fen. Were you being chased by Trogs or Chima? She did not reply at once, still struggling to regain control of herself. At last she whispered, It was not a silly dream. Tell me about it. In the dream I had grown old. My hair was thin and white. I could see it hanging in front of my eyes. My skin was wrinkled and my hands were bony claws. My back was bowed and my feet were swollen and painful. I hobbled behind you, but you were walking so fast that I could not keep up. I was falling back and you were going to some place where I could not follow. She was becoming agitated again. I called your name, but you did not hear me. She began to sob. It was only a dream. He held her tightly in the circle of his arms, but she shook her head vehemently. It was a vision of the future. You strode ahead without looking back. You were tall and straight, your legs strong, your hair was thick and lustrous. She reached up, took a handful, and twisted it between her fingers, just as it is now. My sweet, you must not distress yourself. You too are young and beautiful. Perhaps now. But you will stay so. And I will grow old and die. I will lose you again. I don't want to turn into some cold star. I want to stay with you. With all the wisdom of the ages at his command, he could find no words which would comfort her. At last he made love to her again. She gave herself into his embrace with a kind of desperate fervour, as though she was trying to become one with him, to unite their physical bodies as well as their spirits, so that they could never be torn apart, not even by death. At last, just before dawn, exhausted by love and despair, she slept.